If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be back with you again. And last week this time, I was in New York together with thousands of my fellow shluchim, emissaries of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, literally from every corner of the world. It was an exhilarating experience, seeing friends, new friends, old friends, and literally watching the world come together. The people who have dedicated their lives to spreading the word, the light of Yiddishkeit, to every single corner of the world. And for 5 days, these people came together to talk, to converse, to share, to celebrate, to fabring, to sing, and tragically this year, to grieve as well, because the kinnis took place during the Shiva, where the family of Rabbi Zev Kogan, who was brutally murdered by terrorists in Abu Dhabi, the family was sitting Shiva. And every one of us felt the pain. Every one of us felt the tremendous sense of hurt, not only for the family, not only for the community in Abu Dhabi, not only for the shluchim, but for world Jewry, because this was a clear and obvious demonstration of the worst kind of anti-Semitism. Rabbi Kogan was killed for no other reason than he was a Jew. And that is something that we have to live with such great pain. And when a person is brutally murdered, his life is taken, leaves behind a widow, married only 2 years, this is something we all have to take to heart. And this is why we thought that the kinnis this year would be dampened down. The joy, the festivity, the camaraderie, the excitement that we all normally feel at the kinnis on an annual basis wouldn't be the same. But that didn't happen. It didn't happen because the way Chabad responds to these challenges is by going beyond. Yes, at the incredible banquet, a banquet where over 5,000 people sit together, there was a live hookup to the family who was sitting Shiva in Jerusalem, and we all said the traditional prayer of Nichum Avelim, of consoling the bereaved. And there were all sorts of messages, sessions dedicated to his life, to his memory, to the community in Abu Dhabi. Nonetheless, the feeling among each and every one of us, the thousands of shluchim, was that this is a time to respond with even greater dedication. A reporter from Wall Street Journal interviewed some of the people from Abu Dhabi, and they asked, will there be a change now in Abu Dhabi, now that one of your colleagues was so brutally murdered? And the answer was yes, there will be a change. And you know what that change will be? That within the year, we are going to double the amount of shluchim in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. This is the response of Chabad. When people try to bring darkness, we bring light. People try to bring evil, we bring goodness. When people try to bring despair, we bring joy. And this is how we react to these painful challenges. Yes, deep within, the hurt is there. Deep within, the pain is there. But at the same time, we are guided by the ongoing message of the Rebbe of Blessed Memory, who in every situation where there was a painful challenge, the Rebbe encouraged all his shluchim, in fact, all his followers, double up on your activities, double up on everything that you do. This is the only response. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of tremendous dedication. Why Hashem gives us these challenges, we really don't know. As much as we try to understand, our minds are too limited. But at the same time, one thing we do know: these challenges are here to spur us on even further, to somehow dig deep within ourselves, within each other, and build further and further. You know, we're in the month of Kislev. And the month of Kislev is a month of miracles and a month of light. We celebrate the incredible festival of Hanukkah. And although Hanukkah was a tremendous victory, a miraculous victory, an incredible war, a handful of soldiers, Judah Maccabee and his brothers and a few more, standing up against the mighty army, and yet they won. And one wonders, why is it that we celebrate Hanukkah primarily by lighting the lamps in the Hanukkiah and the menorah? And the answer is because the Syrian Greeks at the time, they tried to destroy not so much the bodies of Israel, of the Jewish people, but the souls. And this is why the response is to light another lamp, to bring light into the world. Because the neshama of a Jew is a candle. It's a candle that God brings into the world. And each and every one of us is obligated to kindle our own souls and to kindle the souls of others so that it illuminates the world. It brings light. It brings clarity. It brings strength and hope and security. And this is what we have to do now. The world is standing up. So much of the world is standing up and trying to bring darkness. And they think they're being effective. And many people, tragically, unfortunately, respond to that influence of darkness with despair. That shouldn't be the case. Light up your soul. Light up the souls of others, your family, your children, your friends, your community. Light is powerful. Acts of goodness is incredible. The miracle of the month of Kislev is with us. Only a few hundred years ago, the miracle of Yutes Kislev, the 19th of Kislev, where the first Chabad Rebbe, the Bala Tanya, the author of Tanya and the Rav Shulchan Aruch, was liberated from Tsarist prison where he was imprisoned falsely. And he brought light to the world through the teaching of Hasidus, which changed the profile of the Jewish people, uplifted them, gave them new insight into their faith, into their relationship with God, into their relationship with each other, into their relationship with themselves. He kindled their souls. This is what the month of Kislev is all about. This is a time of tremendous energy. And this is why the kinos were thousands and thousands of shluchim from every corner of the world came together. And it could have been a time of great sadness. One of our own fell in the line of duty. And it could have been a time of tremendous sorrow. But it wasn't. Yes, we grieved. Yes, we felt the pain. But it was a time of tremendous dedication to greater growth. To double up, to triple up, to bring more light, to bring more effort to what we do. And not only what we do, but what all of us do, you included. This is a time to bring light.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about light. We're talking about how light can change the world and how we are obligated to become those instruments of light, those lanterns that begin to change the world and continue to change the world with ever-increasing elements of light. So let's take a look at the Parsha. The Parsha begins with an interesting sentence. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava vayelech charana. Yaakov, the third of the patriarchs, in fact, our sages refer to him as Bechir Sheba Avot. He was the chosen, the best of the three. Abraham was incredibly great. Isaac was incredibly great. But Yaakov, he is the Bechir Sheba Avot. All sorts of reasons why, but let's follow his life. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva. What's Be'er Sheva? Be'er Sheva is a place of tremendous tranquility, physical and spiritual. It's the home of his parents, the patriarch Isaac, Yitzchak, the matriarch Rebecca, Rivka. It's a place of tremendous spirituality. It's a place where there is a presence of godliness, divinity. You can feel it everywhere. Where does he go? Vayelech Charana. He goes to a place called Charan. Now, Charan is an angry place, inhabited by swindlers, immoral people. That's where his family lives. That's where his mother came from. She was a righteous woman. But her family, particularly her brother Lavan, is not so righteous. He is Lavan Ha'aravi, Lavan the swindler. Why would Yaakov want to leave a tremendous haven of holiness and go into a place that was dark and corrupt? After all, he's Bechir Sheba Avot. He is the chosen of the patriarchs. He is the one who is going to continue the legacy of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Isaac excelled in certain areas. Yaakov is the synthesis. He is the one who's going to bring it all together. He is the one who is going to establish the 12 tribes of Israel. Why would he want to leave his parents' home and go into a place of darkness? Yes, you might argue. His brother Esav is furious with him, vowed to kill him once his father dies, because he thinks he stole the blessings from him, his birthright of the firstborn, etc. That's not enough of a reason. After all, Yaakov is strong. Yaakov is clever. He could have avoided all that. There seems to be a purposeful reason for Yaakov making that journey. You see it in the language of the pasuk, Vayetze. There is a very clear determination. He leaves a place of tranquility. He doesn't say he escapes. It doesn't say he runs away. It doesn't suggest that he's running for his life. It says that he leaves, he exits Be'er Sheva. He exits this holy place, Vayelech, and with determination and with good reason goes to Charan. What is that all about? And the answer, of course, is Yaakov recognizes that he has a mission. God has charged him with a mission. And what is that mission? What he has learned in Be'er Sheva, what he has picked up from his parents, what he has made part of his life. He was the one who sat in the tent, who has studied. He is the one who up to this point has dedicated his entire life to holiness, the study of Torah. He doesn't want to keep it for himself. His mission, his purpose, is to go to the far ends of the world, not necessarily geographically, but the far ends of the world morally. Far ends of the world where people don't have the same values as does he. And change those areas of darkness into places of light. He leaves holiness and he goes to Charan. He doesn't leave holiness within himself, he takes that with. He leaves the environment of holiness and he goes to an environment which is known for corruption. And what happens? Suddenly along the way, the sun sets. And he has to, go to sleep. And he has a dream. And what is that dream? And that dream is told to us in tremendous detail. An interesting dream. The dream of the ladder. A ladder that is rooted in the ground and extends all the way to the highest heavens. And what he sees are angels going up the ladder and descending, coming down the ladder. And our sages tell us, what does that ladder symbolize? That ladder symbolizes prayer. It starts at the lowest level. It's rooted in the ground. But where it extends to, what it reaches, is the highest level of godliness, the very essence of godliness. These are the angels that are created through our prayer. And what happens, of course, is that prayer is interactive. It's not only reaching out to God, offering our prayers, reaching out to the Almighty, but He reaches out to us in return. Angels ascending and angels descending. Prayer, a powerful, powerful conduit that connects us wherever we are, however low we may be, and enables us to reach the highest levels of godliness. But something strange. Question is asked. When he left his father's home, he didn't immediately go to Haran. He spent 14 years studying Torah at the Torah Center of Shem and Eber. 14 years. He wasn't a young man at that stage. He was in his 60s. And before he undertook this journey, although he had studied Torah all his life, he dedicated another 14 years before he goes to Haran. And yet, this isn't mentioned clearly in the Parsha in the Torah. We have to rely upon the teaching of our sages in the oral part of Torah. What is told to us is the dream of the ladder of prayer, which would seem to suggest that somehow prayer would be more important than the study of Torah in this instance. Why is that? What is this dream all about? And why is it told to us in such detail? And the answer, of course, is because the journey that Yaakov takes, this is the journey of each and every Jew. This is the journey of the Jewish people. How often did we have to leave places of comfort and go into dark parts of the world and encounter new and strange and often hostile environments, societies that try to destroy our Yiddishkeit? So often. So often we come to new worlds throughout history. Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And they try to somehow extinguish the light of Yiddishkeit within us. What Yaakov is telling us, what the Torah is telling us in this instance, how do we have the ability and the capacity not only to survive those exiles, but to thrive, to bring light into those exiles? Yes, the study of Torah is very important, and one must dedicate one's life to the study of Torah. But often what takes precedent is prayer. And what is prayer all about? Prayer follows a particular pattern. It's a ladder. It starts at a low level, and then it goes upward. On a daily basis, how does the day begin? It begins with a prayer. As we open our eyes in the morning, what do we say? We say, Modeh Ani. We humbly accept our faith in God. We don't even mention His name. We simply open our eyes and we accept on a simple level, in a language that is open to everyone, we accept the presence of God. We start. That is the beginning of the journey of prayer on a daily basis. Following which, we express our gratitude. The blessing of Asher Yatzar, that God gave us a body, and that body functions in accordance with God's creation in a healthy sort of way. Valves that open and close in a particular sort of way. and that is a great miracle. And as we look at our body, we understand what kind of miracle it is. Health. Health is one of the greatest miracles that we have. How easy it is, God forbid, to lose health. And then we speak about the neshama, that powerful divine gift that animates us, energizes us, gives us the power to be who we are, human beings, with intellect, with emotion, with all sorts of talents and abilities. And the early part of the prayer, Psukei Dezimra, we look at the world, at God's creation. We look at the mountains, we look at the oceans, we look at the valleys, we look at the trees, we look at everything that God created, and we can make the mistake of saying, wow, what a beautiful natural order. But as we delve into it, we begin to understand that this natural order can't exist and function on its own. There is a divine, godly presence. And we use our minds to understand to the best of our abilities how God creates this world and how each and every element of this world is guided by godliness. And we look beneath and beyond the veil of nature and we see the presence of God. What appears to be a natural order is anything but. Every day that the sun sets and the sun rises, it's a miracle. Everything that exists in the physical sense, it's a miracle. And then we come to the Shema, where we declare our unity with God. Only one God. The absolute unity of God's presence. And then we come to the Amidah, the ultimate expression of unity and humility and oneness. Prayer is a ladder. It's just not mumbling a couple of words. It's a process. It begins at a low level. But every rung we step on takes us to a higher level. That's what Yaakov was telling us in his dream. You want to survive the darkness and the challenges of the exile, which will be the journey of the Jewish people, learn how to pray. Because prayer will uplift you. It will take you up the ladder of godliness. It will make sense of your life. It will give you purpose. And once you have purpose, everything makes sense. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about how the dream of Jacob tells us how to handle even the darkest exile. How Yaakov went from the most perfect of places, Be'er Sheva, and he entered into perhaps the worst of all places, Haran. And not only did he survive, but he raised a magnificent family. His wives, his children, who later became the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel. And then he realizes that after 21 years, it's time to leave. And when he does, his father-in-law, Lavan HaArami, the swindler, says, no, 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 you can't go. These are my children. These grandchildren are mine. Whatever wealth you've accumulated, it's all mine. And Yaakov says, no, you don't understand. I've raised them. I've raised them with different values than yours. But Lavan says, what are you talking about? They grew up in my world. They grew up in my society. They saw different things. They were exposed to different values. They were exposed to my world, argues Lavan. And Yaakov says, no, but they were raised in my home. I taught them how to pray. I taught them how to understand the concept of godliness. I taught them how to live in a world that is surrounded by corruption and confusion and darkness and see godliness and become a light unto nations. So no matter how much you scream and shout and demand that they stay behind, they're with me and they're coming home with me to the home of my parents, Yitzchak and Rivka, Isaac and Rebekah. This is the story of the Jewish people. Because even in the darkest of exiles, those who have taught their children how to pray, and not only to say the words, you know, to have a bar mitzvah, but to actually pray, to somehow start the day with a Modeh Ani, to go through the processes of prayer, to climb that ladder on a daily basis, to go throughout life and continuing to climb the ladder. They have survived the most difficult and dark of exiles. This is the story of Jacob. Because this is our mission in life, to be a light unto nations. But to be a light, we have to illuminate ourselves. And to illuminate ourselves, we have to have that inner glow. And that inner glow means to take our neshama, to take our soul, and to make sure that it's kindled. And the way we make sure that our neshama is kindled is by infusing it with acts of mitzvot, of God's commandments, acts of goodness, bringing light into the world, bringing light into our lives. And that's the way we thrive. That's the way we live. And that's why the Jewish people are an eternal people. When we say, Am Yisrael Chai, when we say, the Jewish people live, it's not only a victory call here and there. It's an essential definition of who we are as a people. Thousands of years, the most impossible and difficult of circumstances. Enemies, powerful enemies, have tried to destroy us. And yet, here we are, observing the same commandments, doing the things that God asks us to do, what God wants us to do, raising children in the spirit of holiness, of goodness, of godliness, educating them, teaching them how to pray, showing them the ladder, telling them the story of the dream of Jacob, and how that should be their dream as well, and how there's the great conflict between Jacob and Laban. Laban demands, no, you are a citizen of my society. And Yaakov says, I may live physically in your world, but spiritually I don't. And therefore, I live within history and outside of history. I live here, but I live differently. My real dedication is to godliness. And despite what you offer, and what you offer is very tantalizing, I won't accept it, and neither will my children or grandchildren. And therefore, that's the true meaning of Am Yisrael Chai, the Jewish people are eternal. And this is why this is such a fascinating parsha during the month of Kislev. The month of Kislev, when we celebrate light, and light is amazing. Light is one of the greatest miracles that exist. It changes everything. It brings clarity. The light of Hanukkah, the light of Chassidut, all these things bring clarity, gives us direction, shows us the way to go forward. It shows us the ladder. It's an amazing parsha. How Yaakov finds Rachel, how he raises a family, how he teaches, how he works, how he toils. It's a fantastic parsha. So when you're in shul tomorrow, and be in shul tomorrow, listen to the parsha and listen carefully. You might be here, you might be on holiday, wherever you are, go to shul. Listen to the parsha. And as I always say, listen carefully to that particular part of the parsha that talks to you, that resonates with you. It will say something which is very important, and when it does, listen carefully with every bit of ability that you have, because what it says is very important to you. Good Shabbos.